We continue on the parables of Jesus. As far as the eight kingdom parables, we have examined two more parables here in this text that are written in Matthew 13 to deal with the kingdom. And I want to remember, again, Warren Wiersbe's outline of these parables. I didn't share it with you until last week. The beginning of the kingdom, that's the parable of the sower and the souls. And then also the opposition to the kingdom, that's three parables, and we'll break that down next week. And then the outcome of the kingdom deals with four parables. Now remember, a parable is a transliteration of the Greek word paraboli, which means to place beside or to cast alongside. The purpose of the parables was to conceal and to reveal to the scribes and Pharisees who had rejected Christ as the Messiah. It was to conceal, and to the disciples who were responding to the teaching of Jesus, it was to reveal. Now, the kingdom parables are recorded in the what's called the Synoptic Gospels, recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I could have called this the King's Secrets or the Sacred Secrets or the King's Secrets, but we're calling it just basically the parables of the kingdom. Now, we're going to look at the first one, and that's the mustard seed. The next parable we're going to look at tonight, we're going to look at two because they're short. And so the next one will be the leaven. And so let's begin reading in verse 31 of Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And when indeed it is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air cometh and lodge in the branches thereof. So that's the parable of the mustard seed. Now, again, we're going to look at the context, the explanation, and the application. All of these deal with how we get to heaven, from the gospel being sown in our heart all the way to the dragnet when we go to heaven. And we'll be looking at that as we go further. We enter the kingdom by hearing the gospel, believing. And we got that from the parable of the sower and the souls. And one day we'll go to heaven. These eight parables also teach the growth of the kingdom. So if you want to know how the kingdom progresses from the sower all the way to the time we get to heaven, you see that in these eight parables. And remember, the religious leaders back in Matthew 12 had openly rejected Christ as the Messiah. And God closed their heart because they closed their heart and hardened their heart to whatever else he was saying. And he began to focus primarily upon the disciples. Now, on the grain of mustard seed in verse 31 and 32, as we read that, this was the smallest seed known at that time in the Bible days in the Holy Land. And I understand that the smallest seed, unless somebody can come up with a smaller seed, is an orchid seed. It's the smallest seed. But in those days, it was the mustard seed. This seed would have phenomenal growth. It would grow very quickly. And it grew so large that the birds would come and light and nest in its branches. This seed represents the humble beginning of the kingdom. And Christianity has grown. It has grown by thousands, and millions of people have come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And sometimes we think, there ain't many outside of us that's going to heaven, but there's a lot more that's going to heaven than we think, right? Amen. And there's a lot that's not going to heaven. They're in the mustard tree, but they're not believers. We'll explain that in just a moment. Now, birds, when you interpret Scripture, you got to go by the law of first mention. Birds are first mentioned in verse 4. Notice, go back to verse 4 of Matthew 13. And when he sowed, and seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. It pictures an agent of the evil one, Satan, coming to take the seed away so it doesn't take root. And you also see that in verse 19. Look in verse 19. And when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. It is he that received the seed by the wayside. So when you interpret Scripture, You can't say, well, birds meant something in the first parable, but then we're going to change what they meant in the remaining parables. That's not how you interpret Scripture. It's a law of first mention. There are those now who interpret this mustard seed growing up to a tree all as good growth and influence. And it does speak of the fact that the kingdom is growing, and it does speak about many people are saved. But the problem comes in when they, I don't know where they get this from, so don't ask me. Some believe that the birds represent the Gentiles coming into the church and resting as Abraham's seed. Now, there's a problem with that interpretation. Birds, again, the law of first mention, birds in parable one mean the same thing here in the parable of the seed, mustard seed. And then also, nowhere do I find where Gentiles are represented by birds. Now, I've seen some that look close to a bird, right? But not a bird. And then the parable of the wheat and tares, also the other parables. We looked at the parable of the wheat and tares, speak of unbelievers in the world, in the church. And also, we'll see when we get down to verse 47, the parable of the dragnet speaks of evil and the separation of God's people from unbelievers. So you understand, church, what I'm trying to tell you, birds must mean the evil that comes into this big tree, right? And lands on its branches. And this is where I do separate one of my favorite preachers that I learned how to exegete passages and all that, John MacArthur. He believes it's all speaking of good growth. And I would differ with that. And then secondly, there's the leaven in the meal. Look in verse 33. And another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Again, the context is the same as the other parables, and we'll skip down to the explanation. Verse 33, leaven in a meal. Now, let me explain this to you. This speaks of a woman placing a little leaven in her three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And you ladies are familiar with that, right? You are good cooks, and all the cakes you make, they all come out all fluffy and big, right? Nobody in this church has ever had a flat cake, right? Okay. A common interpretation of this meal here, leaven, is the world, and the leaven is the gospel, which will be preached to the whole world till everyone is saved. Now, we know there's a big problem with that, because this view is contradictory to Scripture. We will not save the world. We will save people out of the world, but not everybody will believe. The condition of the world today in the spirit of the Antichrist, and as times get harder and more evil, we know that the church will not bring in the kingdom. Christ will when he comes. So leaven is always a type of evil and sin in the Bible. Others believe it pictures growth, and the tree did grow. There was growth of the kingdom, but it got so big that the false teachers and the cults come and light in its branches, and they pass by as believers unless you have a discerning spirit. So I refer you back to my argument. Birds in the law of first mention represent evil. The parable of the wheat and tares also represents unbelievers in the world and the church. You get my drift. Why is there so many parables talking about evil, and then all of a sudden you're going to make this parable talk about all good, right? And then speaks of tares and separation and judgment of believers, unbelievers later. The parable of the dragnet speaks of evil and separation. So leaven is always a type of evil and sin in the Bible. Let me remind you about the Israelites. They were warned to get rid of their houses leaven before the Passover, right? And they were to go out with unleavened bread. Jesus warned against the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herod. That's another way of saying the false teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaven of these false teachers. And that's what we're going to look at in Jude. That's what we're going to look at when we go into the cults, the leaven that they pass off, and people who are not discerning would think that they are going to heaven. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, leaven is defined as malice and evil. Galatians 5:9 shows it means false teaching. Now, what are the application from these two parables of the mustard seed and the leaven? Well, again, I'm not going to keep you too long tonight on this. These are short parables, and I don't want to take too many parables at one time. But Jesus is saying the kingdom would experience great growth, but all growth would be in Jesus. Not all churches would be biblical churches, but disguised as churches. You know, sometimes I scan on my CNS programming, and I get a hold of these guys. You know, they give me a lot of sermon material, but they ain't much meat to what they're saying. They're not teaching right doctrine. And we should know the difference. If we've been saved and had the Holy Spirit living within us, you've been taught all these years, you should know immediately that something is not right here, right? And so a little alarm goes off in our heart that this ain't right. But they pass. Do you know what passes as Christianity to the world today? All this junk they see on TV and all these preachers and prosperity gospel preachers and all that kind of stuff. They think that's Christianity. No, that's a bird that has landed in the tree, right? And so Jesus warns against the permeating influence of evil working in the kingdom. And these two parables speak of corrupting influence. I would hope it just speaks of good influence, but again, I would have to separate from John MacArthur on this issue. This view is contradicted by Scripture. And the condition of the world today is the spirit of the Antichrist increases. We know that, and we know what these people teach. Because you know the real thing, and then you know the false thing when it comes along. You shouldn't have to come after all these years, come to me and say, Pastor, is this a cult? Or what's wrong with this guy's teaching? What's wrong with this? You should know by now that it doesn't align with Scripture. And if leaven is false doctrine, now notice verse 33 again. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, and the whole was leavened. Now, a woman, you know, a good conservative Bible teachers believe here this could be a false prophetess. Women have been the founders of several cults in the world. Just look it up. We'll show you that when we go through the cults. The founder of Christianity was Christ. You know, Joseph Smith, right? The founder of Christianity was Christ, and God in human flesh, right? Amen. But a lot of these cults were imagined up. They're all demons from hell, and they're all imagined up, and you had a woman founder, okay? And we'll be looking at that later on. But Paul said in his writings that behind every false doctrine is a demon. Now, we don't want to... You know, when you say that, they're going to get mad at you and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, but you got to willing. I think it's time that the church speak up. I think it's time that we say, no, that's not true. That's not Bible, you know. And I've had all kind of conversations this week with people about kind of stuff like this. And they called me legalistic. I said, no, I'm not legalistic. I'm biblical, right? And... you know, let me give you a quick illustration about this. I'll let you out before Andy Griffith comes on. But I was told today over lunch that the SBC has ordained a transgender pastor. Was that right, Linda? Transgender pastor, you know. When they come visit with you, you don't know if the man's coming or the woman's coming, right? I mean... that's just how far we slip. Rick Warren, we shared the other week, that he ordained 3 women pastors in his church. That's not biblical, right? It may feel good, right? But it's not biblical. The liberal church, they ordain homosexuals, not in the pulpit, and they receive homosexuals into the membership roles. And there's a movement going on that it's calling the church to compromise. I think we ought to love them because they're lost, right? But we got to be very careful that in loving them and sharing the gospel with them, we don't associate with them because the Bible tells us to separate, right? Are y'all all right? Are y'all okay there? All right? And so they can be saved. They need to be saved. It's possible. Paul said, which were some of you, right? And so it's possible. They don't want that to get out, that it's possible for a homosexual to come to Christ and change their lifestyle. They want them still in bondage, right? So we're not going to do that here. They're welcome to come. Just like it was mentioned about the young man that came in between Sunday school and church, they're welcome to come. We don't want to ever get the idea that people are not welcome in our church. But once the doors are locked, they're going to have to, draw our attention to let them in if they're late, right? And so we have this. It's infiltrated all the church, right? And because churches like us who stand on the truth, we are right-wing fundamentalists. We're male chauvinist pigs. We need to catch up with the Bible, right? The Bible needs to catch up with the times, excuse me, right? The Bible's archaic. And if you actually believe the Bible says what it says, you're not going to be received by the world. And you're not going to make any friends. You'll make friends with God, but you won't make friends by the world, right? So we have to make a decision. Are we going to go by the authority of Scripture, rightly interpreted, or are we going to do like everybody else, right? And I know y'all not going down that road, and I don't think you'll go down that road, and you ain't got to worry about me going down that road anytime soon, right? So this is the birds have come and nested in the great tree, right? And many people can't tell the difference. And they turn on their tube on what passes as Christian television. There's a few good ones on there, and y'all know who they are. But as a whole, it's some name it, claim it, blab it, grab it type stuff, right? That no foundation whatsoever. They misinterpret the scriptures. I wish I could say more about this, but... And also, there's a move in some denominations, and even with the critical race theory, it has infiltrated these denominations. And also the fact that we've got to discuss, and we've got to vote on the fact, what can a woman be a pastor? No, that's God already voted on that, okay? He already cast his vote in 1st and 2nd Timothy and in 1st Corinthians about that. So we're never going to vote on what God has already voted on, right? And so, and we can still be loving, but more than that, we want to be biblical, and we want to satisfy our Lord. So this is what these two parables teach. A great mustard tree, talking about the church, the growth of the church, got so big, the birds come and nest in their limbs, and they were just that. They were the same thing that were back in verse 4. They were evil workers, and they come and nest in the tree, passing as good growth, in this big tree, right? Okay? No invitation tonight because we're going to keep going through these parables like next Sunday night. Brother Robert won't be with us next Sunday. I hope Brother Marcus is feeling well enough to come and be with us. How's he feeling today?
He was feeling a little bit better this morning, but he went back with Buddy down the
second night. Okay. So you're going to be preaching at Northside, filling in from Brother Mike, right? And then we got Father's Day coming up, the 20th, and if you saw in your bulletin ahead of time, Brother Glenn Scoggins is going to be preaching our homecoming coming up in July the 11th, I believe. And so we'll be looking at that, okay? We got a few minutes. It's a few minutes. I know.